Well, a very good evening to you here on this very hot summer June bank holiday Monday evening, and thank you for taking the time to tune in to us this evening. I presume a lot of you on the way to the beach, or maybe some of you back from the beach, or God knows, some of you are probably heading back to the beach. But we're having our own beach party here anyway. Liam Broston and John Kennedy joining us later than usual following the coverage of Kerry FC's clash today with Waterford United. And just to ensure it's a proper beach party, we brought Dinny Long as well, so you couldn't have a proper, and he's got the beach ball and is going to be firing at the boys very shortly. Now also on tonight's show, in the second hour, we'll take a quick look at the Kerry minor win over Cork, and we'll get some reaction to that defeat there of Kerry FC as well. And in our women in segment sport, we look back at the wonderful Claire Fitzgerald, a multiple national senior champion at all those various field events. You might remember a couple of weeks ago actually had her father in, and now we have Claire on as well. Now give us a call there, 066 712 3666, or text us there on WhatsApp 083 300 3300. Niamh is on the phone, and Niamh's on the desk this evening doing all the work. Delighted to be with us as well. Now, Kerry, I suppose, we get cracking, lads. They got their senior championship defence, I suppose, back up and running on Saturday with a 2-point win over Cork. But the display once again had Kerry fans, I suppose, questioning where we're at the moment. And I suppose we had a lot of uncomfortable moments in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Liam Broston, would that be fair enough? A win, 2 points, but fairly uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable towards the end, Donal. Cork had great opportunities.
Even from those good seats you had?
Even from the bird's eye view that I had up top, all right, with Timmy and Billy. But it was kind of a funny game. You know, we were going up as Kerry supporters. We were looking to see, was there going to be an improvement from the Mayo game. The first half probably kicked off. We kicked off, you know, lively. Shawnee Shea kicked his points, and he was, you know, showing the hand to the crowd. So you said, right, there's a bit of a buzz here about it. And, you know, it just... But looking at it overall, even in the first half, there wasn't much... You know, it was the same team that went out against Mayo. There wasn't any...
Were you surprised there was only two changes?
I was, yeah.
You were rejigging the whole team around. Yeah, I said Jack would wait and give him an extra 10% and hopefully they come back, but we didn't see any change.
No, we saw no changes, which I suppose, look, we're not behind in curtains, so we don't know what's happening behind in curtains. So that's probably the disappointing thing for us. You know, we were looking at hope and, you know, mix it around a bit, see could we get that little bit of get our mojo back again and get a kick on, and it just didn't seem to do it for me to get again the weekend. I was kind of in the second half. Cork came out of the blocks. They really came at us. I suppose the only positive you could take out of it is that we kind of, you know, we got out of a hard situation, you know, and we were still looking at David
Clifford. Did we ever look like losing it?
We could have, yeah.
Did
yeah.
we ever actually look like losing it? Did you ever say it once?
There was a stage there in the second half, I think, even before the penalty. The whole crowd, the Cork crowd, really got behind the team. You could see we were struggling that small bit, and Cork really had the tails up, and they were coming at us, and we got that little bit of relief from the penalty, Donald. Yeah. And look, I suppose we'll talk about that incident. Overall, you know, I think it was a case of maybe... For Jack, very happy to come away with the 2 points and start their Sam Maguire Cup campaign, you know, with the 2 points. Mm-hmm. But a lot of work and a lot of question marks there.
Yeah, we'll ask a few of those questions. We have plenty of comments coming in already, and we'll go through them later on. John Kennedy, last week you said if we upped our intensity any level at all, we should be good enough to beat Cork. Did you see us up our intensity last day?
Yeah, the first quarter, Donald, maybe. Do you know, we did, like Shawnee Shea in particular looked the Shawnee that we know, do you know. But I suppose you have to put things in perspective, and we spoke about it off air then. I was talking with Liam over the weekend about 3 weeks ago. We didn't know what competition Cork were going to be in. Was it Helton Cup or was it Sam Maguire? And we're jumping around the place now because we got out of jail below in Cork, like. And you know this story that we're behind in training and that there's training blocks, and like it's time now to say we stand up. And you know, a lot of those Kerry lads, they were disappointing again the last day. You know, the penalty, we talk about it, 10-9. Huge bearing in the game. Mm-hmm. Huge bearing. Stephen Sherlock went through towards the end, maybe 5 or 6 minutes ago. Shot over the bar, could have been a goal. Those things, like, I think Cork lift the game after him. I think if Brian Hurley had his shooting boots on, we'd be talking about a different game tonight. I think their approach play, their setup was good. Their finishing wasn't there. You know, Owen McSweeney came on and kicked 2 great points. He showed a bit of, you know, he threw a bit of abandon, we'll call it. He went for it. But, you know, Shawnee Shea, the Cliffords, in the last 10 minutes, weren't in the game. Mm-hmm. Is it that we were out of steam? Is it a tribute to Cork? The same failings were there, I think, up the centre when Cork ran at us. We had trouble around the middle of the field. Not good enough. We need to up it. You know, we'll beat Louth. But are we good enough? I mean, with all due respect, like we're talking about teams that are two divisions below us here. Let's be realistic about it. Are we? Look, Mayo, give us a lesson. Mm-hmm. Are we good enough to beat the top three or four teams at this point in time? No,
not in that performance.
No, we're not. No. And I think you can see the body language of Jack O'Connor. That buzz isn't with him. Mm-hmm. You know, something is not right. I hope it'll change.
Mm-hmm. Denny Long, last year we were here and Cork lost by, I think it was 12 points, lost by 2 this time. Are you more disappointed by losing by 2 than you lost by 12? Because this was one that you kind of left after you.
Yeah, I think the first thing I'd say, Donal, is that probably the load game was crucial for Cork. You know, if they had lost to Navan, mm-hmm. I mean, their chances of progression was probably gone. You know, they probably wouldn't be expected by the general public to beat Kerry or beat Mayo. But as it turned out, maybe Louder better than we give him credit. They ran Mayo very close.
They reached the Leinster final.
Yeah.
I know they lost to Dublin.
Correct.
But they got there.
So, you know, I was happy enough with Cork. They have improved. Their big problem was their return from chances. You know, you must take scores, particularly when you're playing the top teams. They had enough chances. The goal obviously had a huge bearing, or the penalty, I should say. But overall, I think Cork will be happy if they can kick on another bit. They have made progress. They're still not All-Ireland contenders, but at the same time, they'll be very pleased with their last two performances, and with a small bit of luck, they could have taken Kerry's scalp last Saturday evening.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point, actually, because, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Cork, the chance they wouldn't even be in the Championship. Now they're in the Championship, and, you know, they look fairly secure. I mean, that win was very important against Louth, obviously. Liam, a lot of comments, obviously, coming in, and people saying, look, there must be something wrong with this Kerry team. They don't become bad footballers overnight. They had an Offaly McGrath Cup. We were saying, look, you know, they were acclimatising and getting back. They had a very poor lead. You know, we won just enough to survive and the whole lot. And we had two kind of very facile victories against, you know, two teams in the Telton Cup, basically.
Yep.
And there's a lot of kind of question marks out there with Kerry supporters. Are we anyway close to getting back to where we are, or is this season going to be very short?
No, I don't think. I think last year was one of those years. No, and I was at a lot of the games with the Raiders last year, and you could see going to the games, even when we're sitting on, that we were going to win games. There was confidence there. You could say from the very word go last year, the McGrath Cup, we were all above, mm-hmm. actually above and Tralee and
against Limerick.
Against Limerick, he had David Clifford, Paul Ganey, they were all out. So we started on the right foot last year. But this year we were playing catch-up football from the word go. And there was that little excuse that was going on for weeks that we're a month behind, we're 4 or 5 weeks behind everyone. And it doesn't look as if we can catch up. And then the loss of David Moran. And look, it's no big secret that we are struggling in the middle of the field. It's a massive void to fill. And at the moment, I don't think we have it filled. But then on the other hand, when you see the results with the last 2 or 3 weeks, you know, Mayo with Louth yesterday, Roscommon in Dublin, and you know, all these.
Did that result surprise you when you saw the result?
Did?
You
know, that did, yeah, that, yeah, that because Louth I thought Mayo would push on, and now seeing Mayo this year, I always thought they were a different kind of a Mayo team. But then when you sit back in the cold light of day and say, right, when we played Mayo and St. Clarney, even though they were so dominant, they still only beat us by a couple of points.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So we're not a million miles away. Like the fellas we have are good footballers, but I don't know, is it the structure or is it the intensity or what? But like, if you could get to an All-Ireland semi-final, you know, you're already 2 games away from winning Sam Maguire again. You know, so we were kind of hoping that switch or that click might hit. But looking at them at the moment, it doesn't look as if it's there. You know, but then again, like, I don't know, you'd often hear fellas saying, when Kerry get to Croke Park, they're a different animal altogether. But you know, at the moment, we would be scratching our head, yeah, of how this year is so different to last year. What are we doing wrong this year that we got right last year?
And it's not even a whole year away, even either. One comment, and I'll get to most of the comments later on, but John Kennedy, have a listen to this one. Lads, it's the players that are leaving Jack O'Connor down. It's painfully obvious to anyone that his first 15 are his best 15 available to him. If they were, I'm sure many would have made way by now. We just don't have the strength and depth that we'd like to think we have. It goes to show that winning all the minor All-Irelands for fun means nothing when you can't bring players through to a senior level at this level. I picked that comment out of all the comments because most of the comments are either yes or no, but there's a bit of thought in this one. Is Jack Conran picking his best 15 every game? He must be.
No, I agree totally with the comment, I'll be honest with you. Whoever wrote it, sent it in, knows their football. I think he's his best 15 there. We've said about making changes. Like Liam said, what's happening in Curtin's. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the guys aren't putting their hand up to take the jersey. That's what he has. You know, what's worrying is the form. And we don't know what's going on in there. Like, are they still in a block of heavy stuff? Are they saying we're going to get out of this group and then be ready? We don't know. But, like, they didn't become bad footballers overnight. But the form of some of our top players, you know, like even Shawnee Shea, he was in the first quarter of an hour, you'd say, yes, Shawnee is back. You know, he had that bite about him, he had that bounce, but, you know, didn't do it for the 70 minutes. And we'll need all those guys going well against the top teams. Mm-hmm. If we don't, we'll struggle. But could we say tonight that there are A, B or C out there on the bench that should be on? I don't think we can, really.
No. In years gone by, to be kind of obvious enough, you'd say something should be in or something could replace him.
And like Donal as well, I wouldn't say the players are letting Jack O'Connor down either. Nobody goes out to play badly. We all play the game. You go to do your best. But like there is definitely, when you win in All-Ireland the year after, it's a difficult year.
Yeah.
And I think we're in the middle of that now. But, you know, we'll know at the end of July what's the story.
Like,
you know,
two subs that Cork brought in yesterday, Owen McSweeney and Sherlock, like, they gave an instant kind of a return off the bench, and I don't think we're getting that from our bench at the moment, so.
Mm-hmm. Dinny Long, a Cork question based on that. Should they have started?
I was kind of surprised that Sherlock didn't start, because I go to a lot of the club games in Cork, and he's the best club footballer, score-wise, mm-hmm. in Cork. Now, we know that Cork haven't very good forwards as a rule, and this particular team, as again on Saturday, a lot of the shooting was quite poor. Sherlock, in fairness, in my opinion, should have been on the team. I was surprised that he wasn't. One or two fellas that were on before him, they've got, you know, I saw a lot of the league games and they got their chances in the league and they weren't coming up trumps. I don't know the reason for it, Donald, but if you're the best club footballer, you know, we had probably the same thing with Tony Brosnan for years here in Kerry. Tony Brosnan was the best club footballer in Kerry for a number of years, but for some reason the selectors didn't think he was able to make that little step up. I think Sherlock was got a bit of a raw deal. Now, when he came on, he proved maybe that he should be on, and I hope he will be on the next day against Mayo, because I think he deserves to be on.
Yeah, he certainly got a lot on, a lot of ball coming through. The Kerry defence, Liam, I suppose we spoke about him a lot of times. I did feel, though, however, there was a little bit more intensity about their play the last day. I mean, they did turn over Cork a number of times. Maybe Dinny is possibly right in the sense that they mightn't have been the best Cork forwards that they were facing, and they were turned over rather easily. But there was a number of occasions where they were turned over and there was a bit more Kerry support than usual. That would seem to be something that Kerry have been working on.
You could see that even from the word go. I was watching where Jack Barry was positioning himself, and he was kind of sitting in front of Tadhg Morley for most of the time. Jason Foley, I thought, was outstanding again yesterday. You know, he was out front of his man, he was getting a hand in, he was getting a leg in. But when Cork ran at us, they had opportunities, and getting back to Dinny's point, if Cork could have scored yesterday, I think we'd be talking about a different game here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I said it after the game to Joe, you know, that if we were playing any of the top two or three teams yesterday, that we would have been coming down the road licking our wounds, because Cork had six wides and they had four kicks into the goalkeeper's hands, and they were, you know, if it was our club game, you'd be giving out, you'd, you know, you'd be upset, because they weren't hard kicks. You know, Brian Hurley kicked a few poor ones. You know, so, yeah, as we look at our defence, we'd say, right, they did enough, I suppose, to get us out of a hole yesterday. But I just think that Cork just didn't have the finishing power.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think if we met a better forward yesterday, there was still old failings were there. Cork were getting into spaces, but they couldn't punish us. There was one, I think, blatant there when they broke us down and they attacked, and Shane Ryan was out around the 45. They got so far, but they turned around and came back, because they just didn't know what to do. You know, so that was the difference yesterday. I think up front we probably had that little bit more firepower, and Cork didn't.
You've got fan mail, Liam Brosnan.
Ah, Jesus.
I'm going to read this one out especially, lads. You're absolved from this one. You mightn't remember this tale, but this guy has been courting danger since I arrived. But this is quite a good one. 12-point win last year and just 2 points this year. Maybe Liam That's you, obviously, none of us. That's this Liam over here. Should keep talking Cork down. I heard Kerry are going clearing out the Menor car park in Tralee for all their fans when Cork will travel down next year. See what he's done to the show, John.
See what you're doing. That's terrible.
My God.
Yeah, sure, it's good value for Menor car park. Menor car park, anyway.
The place will be full.
Although, that's another thing. Yes, when we spoke about it, a lot of people spoke about it. There was a man beside me. You know, when you looked at the crowd that was there, you know, compared to what was before Cork and Kerry games, we were looking at behind the goals, there was no one at it. And
it was only 14,000 people.
14,000, like, yeah. So you could play it in Manor if you were away with it.
What do we expect with the way the championship is being run, like? Sure, I mean,
yeah,
three teams going out, like, you can lose three games and you're still in the championship now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're going to drive down to Cork a holiday weekend, yeah, leave the money side out, you drive down to Cork, hours travelling, hours coming back, going through the city to see a game that, at the end of the day, did it really matter who won it?
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that now, actually, and that's a good point. God, John Kennedy, fair play to you. I don't know where the stat has gone by me, but the Dublin-Kildare game, how many was that at? Dublin, oh, the biggest fan base in the whole country. Yeah, no, they did have to travel to Kilkenny just down the road, but
8,000 or 9,000, I think.
8,500.
That's, yeah.
My God, that's what.
And they said seven of that was Dublin, was it?
Yeah, three rows of the hill usually would be 8,000 people, yeah. I'd imagine.
But like you look at you look at the hurling this year. They're going to break all records in Munster.
Mm-hmm.
They'd shoot it for a ticket now for the Munster final. Cork and Limerick was a sellout in the Gaelic grounds. It's championship hurling.
Yeah.
It was win or take all. The football is, it's dragged out. There's extra games. How many extra games to get rid of one?
28.
Crazy stuff. That bite isn't in it.
It's like the under 13 champion. Keep going for the
just
end.
Keep going, yeah.
Yeah, until Austin Sex put you out of it.
There's a bit of begrudgery here tonight.
You've got big under 13s, Denny Long. Come here to me, Denny Long. Take the point that John has raised. It's not really championship yet at all, is it? There's no real bite. I know that you win and whatever it is, but...
Yeah. If you look at the provinces, I mean, the provincial championships are a dead duck, really, you know. And, you know, they're saying because the councils have such power and Croke Park are, you know, trying to keep them on board and all this thing. But like, even with the four groups then and three coming out, mm-hmm. you know, it's a bit of a laugh really, because like you take Tyrone were beaten in the Ulster Championship. They were beaten in the first round, we'll call it the qualifier.
That's right, yeah.
Right? And they could wind up winning the All Ireland. Mm-hmm. And you know, that surely can't be fair. And I think the GAA, you know, they've made too many switches, they've made too many changes to the championship. And the one thing I want to say is that no other organisation would change their All-Ireland dates from September. There's no other rugby, soccer, even I think there was the horse racing at Newmarket on Saturday had to be brought forward because the cup final was on at 3 o'clock and the cup final wasn't going to change. The GAA have made a mess of the calendar, and unless they go back to it, the game is going to become... is going to die in my opinion, because people, you have games squeezed in. They're playing games now for the sake of playing them, and to me that's not fair on players, definitely not fair on supporters. So you know, let's the GAA come along and say, look, we made a desperate bobo, let's go back and let's restructure the whole thing and make it more interesting. In fairness, the hurling is interesting and very interesting, but then you have six or seven teams that they're in the puck of a ball between. Mm-hmm. That's the big difference.
Yeah, and then the other side, you have 26 teams that have never a chance of winning the hurling. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
You're very well. Welcome back here to Terrace Talk. And of course, we're looking at the Kerry Cork game at the weekend. I suppose we're asking some kind of, I suppose, uncomfortable questions more than difficult questions, and I suppose questions that plenty of our texters have asked and raised in the whole lot. A dominant question, John Kennedy, that keeps coming in week after week after week after week. We're just a one horse team. We're just a David Clifford team. Did you see anything else that could dislodge that story? I know we talked about Shawnee Shea having a kind of a powerful 20 minutes, but a lot of them faded away back out of it again.
They did, and like, David is the only consistent, you know. When things are going badly, he's there. When things are going well, he's still there. He's kicking exceptional scores. The one from outside the 45, you know, that's how he beat his Swarm defence. It was a massive kick, but he's not afraid to go for it either, Donald. He's a confidence player, but he's a kicker. And, you know, we'll need, any team that wins in All-Ireland or is contesting in All-Ireland series, you need more than one scoring forward. You need a few, and you know, you need three or four that are going to be kicking 2 or 3 points apiece to take the pressure off. You know, David has been double marked. Tis exceptional scoring considering the attention he's getting. And I mean, this is within the rules. This means 2 or 3 guys on him. Where are the other fellas? We're not showing for it. And what's very disappointing, and it's still happening, you're 30 metres from goals, you turn back and you give the ball back. To me, you know, it's just, it's farcical. It's not forward play. You go for it within reason. Once you're around the zone, go for the score. And you're taking the attention of the opposition defence. They're going to shoot when they're in the zone. There's pressure on all the forwards, all the backs to mark. Whereas with David, it's becoming very obvious he's playing alone for up front for us.
Mm-hmm. And the day will come when that might be close as well. I'll read some of the comments that with the performance. A Division 2 team, with all due respects, the Cork Kerry should have beaten by much, much more. A lot of people hoping that Kerry holding back and waiting for bigger gains, but I'm not sure Kerry have it in the legs this year. Not sure the squad is as good as we thought it was either. Don't know how long more we can keep getting lucky breaks. I won't be running into the bookies for Sam this year. Are we going too hard on Kerry? ? Loud almost beat Mayo and Westmead put it up to Galway for long periods. The weaker teams seem to be outperforming the bigger teams, while the bigger teams seem to be content to pick up the wins. I think Kerry will beat Loud comfortably, and I hope Cork will beat Mayo, and we will top the group, and we'll be all will be well in the kingdom again. Liam, it's an interesting point to think that the weaker teams that we would perceive, the second and third and the fourth seeds, they do seem to be
making
performing
it awkward.
Well.
Yeah.
So does that mean for these teams at least, it's their championship, as in they are performing? Westmead performed Edinburgh well. They should have beat Armagh the first day. They performed decent enough against the All-Ireland finalists Galway the last day. We know they fell away at the back end of the game. And most of the games are tight enough as well. You know, apart, I suppose, obviously from the Roscommon and Dublin game yesterday, they were all fairly tight. Is there something in that the bigger teams or the bigger seeded teams are maybe still holding back a little?
You'd hope, obviously. But I suppose, look, it's like Kerry and Louth in 2 weeks' time. Sure, it's like Manchester United coming to town for Louth. You know, it's a big game for them. They're going to be, they don't play Kerry too often in the Sam Maguire. You know, so it's going to be a massive game for them, and no more than the others. I won't call weaker counties, but you know, but they'll be mad for the big teams to have a cut off them. You'd have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I would agree with your listener there that we'd be hoping that. You know, that's why I said earlier is that. You'd be hoping that with all the results that we've seen in the last couple of weeks, that we're not a million miles away. Because teams are like the Mayo results, like Dublin, Roscommon and all of them. So, yeah, but it's only a hope. Whereas last year we were sitting here, we were very confident. You know, we were playing well. There was a system. You know, we were breaking the ball out of defence. We were transitioning very fast. We were getting it up to our forwards. That's not happening. You know, so we still have a big question mark. And getting back to John's point, and like, the guys up front will have to stand up. Like, I'll mention Tony Brosnan, like probably one of our best forwards in the county championship, county league and everything. But there was one ball he got Saturday night, 30 yards out from goals. If that was a county league match with Dr. Crokes, that was either over the bar or he was heading towards the back of the net, but he just turned backwards. No, so the likes of Tony, and not picking on Tony, you know, but the likes of the Paul Ganeys and Tonys, I know if they kick it wide, so what? You know, forget about these stats, and you know, but they have to take the pressure because there was no one within 10 yards of Tony. I was watching them, no one within 10 yards, he didn't even look at the goals. No, his first option was to go backwards, and here is one of our best forwards in the county. So we need guys like that to step up to the plate. You know, if we want to retain our Sam Maguire.
Mm. People say, Liam, that we're playing to a system.
Yeah.
That this is the system we're playing to. But David Clifford will shoot in that position.
Yeah.
So is there a different system for some players, or is David just going for it?
And as I think it's just a bit of fear that's there.
I think it is. And you said a very valid point. County Championship, bang, over the bar.
But he wouldn't even question it.
No problem.
He wouldn't even question that decision. Like, that ball would have been over the bar 30 yards out, but we seem to be doing that little thing different. I suppose that little bit of fear is there.
Mm. Interesting. I was looking at when was the last time we played Loud. I can't remember when the last time we played Loud. Obviously in black and white days anyway, but we did play Loud in the minors in 2017 on our big run to all our success, and the full forward line that day, Dunico Sullivan, my club, Fieries.
I'll
help you out.
Yeah.
Scored 1-1. David Clifford.
Yeah.
What did he score? One Dinner, you can play this game too.
Come three on. Or four.
Three or four goals and 5 points. 3-5.
He scored 9 points. He got no goal. And who was the other corner forward?
Shawnee Shea, probably.
Maybe a year older. Donal Sullivan.
Well,
right? Alone, yeah.
So now what I'm getting to is the players that played minor in 2017, they should be senior. Now, this was the team. Davis Yossos was in goal.
Goals, yeah.
Right. Shawnee Leary, Kilcoman, cornerback. Chris O'Donoghue, Glenn Flesk. Keane Gamble, cornerback, Legion. Michael Potts, Eddie Horn, of course, Garty Glynn. Niall O'Donoghue was wing back for Fiery, scored a point. Barry Mahoney, St. Sinan's, midfield choice. Dermot Connor, our current midfielder from the Gael. Adam Donoghue, Castle Island Desmond, yeah. Another big, tall, ranging character. Brian Feel, Freel even, scored Fiery's. 5 points. Well, he's Rathmore these days.
Rathmore, sorry, yeah.
God on, we'll really have to replace him, won't we? 5 points. Fiacre Clifford, Lone Rangers.
Yeah.
How come some of them have made it? David was always going to make it. Donald Downs has made it. Chris Donoghue's kind of on the panel. But we need more of these in the team, I would imagine, that if you, a team that came through. I would love to know, which I don't know the answer to, how many of the loud players from that team will face Kerry the next day.
There's a huge step up though, Donald, and people don't realise that. It's a question we've often been asked, being involved in underage, like, how come that more didn't come through? It's the level you're at. You know, there's a huge step up from minor to under 20 to National League. You know, it's blown out of proportion then when it comes to championship football at senior level. The commitment is necessary. Some of these guys won't give that commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them go for them. You know, they're not prepared to give those make those sacrifices that are necessary to be at the top level. And there's huge credit due to the lads that are in there. Basically, their lives are on hold.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose you look at the Kerry panel there, and we've been watching county championship matches for years. Like, you couldn't argue against anyone that's in there.
Yep.
There might be one or two fellas who could say, yeah, he might be ahead of him, but what he has in there is probably what's out there.
Well, I'll give Danny Long a chance to argue, but you know, after the break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, keep your texts coming in, and we have plenty, and we'll fly through a good few of them. I think it's pretty obvious that the way the game has gone is playing a huge factor in all of this. If it was man-to-man situation, Kerry would be well able to play football. It's becoming very hard to stomach, and that's Sarah in Tralee just around the corner here from us. Danny Long, we won't go back into the book that we wrote on it the last time you were here, but it does dwell down on your point that the game has become, as this listener says, very hard to stomach, very hard to watch.
Oh yeah, well, you see, Donald, as you know yourself, and the lads here, Neil, all the teams are playing the same kind of football. Like, you go to a match now, and you're looking at it for 10 minutes, and some fella starts talking to you, and you look back after 10 minutes, and you look up at the score, and it might be still 3-2. The game is horrible to watch. Now, it's probably better to play in than out there, because you're getting plenty of ball, and when they do the stats at the end of the evening, someone said Liam Roston touched it 56 times, and John Kennedy had it 54 times, and everyone was saying, just, he must be a great player. Right. But just some of them are only a yard away, like.
Right.
You know, the positions don't really count. No, if you give a kick pass or a good punch pass, that would count, but this very short thing. The game is terrible, and it has definitely taken, I'm saying it for years, when the game was 1-1, Kerry had huge advantages, because on any given team, Kerry would win 8, 10, 11 positions. It was very hard to lose the game then. That game has gone no more. Numbers in the jerseys, you can throw them away. It makes no difference in the world, because 4 could be playing 13 and 15 could be playing 2. So it's a totally different game. And to be honest about it, Kerry are probably not after catching up with it, because Kerry's tradition of football was 1-1, fielding, catching, kicking, scoring. Like, you take Tony Brosnan last Saturday evening. Like Liam said, if Tony Brosnan was playing for Crokes, he wouldn't even look at the goals. Like, no, maybe they're overcoached. Maybe they're told not to kick. Maybe the only fellow that's told to kick is David Clifford, because he's the best kicker in the country. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But if you have a player like Tony Brosnan, who is an exceptional kicker, right? Surely, beat a guy from 30 yards out, you must let him kick the ball. If you don't, you'll break his confidence.
Absolutely. Please ask the panel, Donald, why aren't Stephen O'Brien, Bruno Begley, of course, Killian Splane aren't playing at the moment. They are some of our best players from last year, and it's Donald in South Kerry, not this Donald in South Kerry. Those were Donald in South Kerry, but so I was going
to
Jesus,
that
one
is enough.
Can imagine having two of them. I presume some of them are injured and not back to full fitness.
Two boys are injured, and yeah, I think Stephen is coming back from injury, but the two boys are injured.
Okay, so you're ruling Killian and Breen injured at the moment. Okay, fair enough. Let's answer that one. One for you, John Kennedy. We're not fit, we can't run. How many times have been the ball robbed from us so easily? Who trains them? I feel sorry for Jack. Okay, I presume that's a rhetorical question, so we won't answer that one. And then, guys, oh, you're going to love this one. My God. Why aren't you calling a spade a spade? We haven't a stitch of a centre fielder and haven't had for a long time. Just dancing around, taking a short pass and then turning around and taking a short pass backwards. Creating nothing, it's putting pressure on our backs and not giving our forwards any advantage. Please replace the boys in the middle. John Kennedy, that's a tough one. Denny Long didn't write it, but I'd say if he was, he certainly would write this one.
You see, I suppose, Don, we're back to what we said a while ago, like about the panel. Who's there to take the position?
Yeah.
To be fair, you know, David Morton has gone. We've spoken with him several times. He's out of the equation. The likes of Adrian Spillan or maybe Mike Breen or somebody that might be played there, maybe Gavin White. But natural midfielders, I don't think we have him around the county if we look. Is there any guy that should be in there? And, you know, obviously behind in training, it's one thing. It's a hallmark of all Jack's teams. He picks his team and form from training. And that has been evident. He's made changes at different times. And maybe we're saying, how is this guy starting? But he bursts from the training field. We're struggling in the middle field. No question or doubt about it. But, you know, is there better there? And are they getting their positions? Because I thought there would be changes in the middle of the field from the Mayo game. Obviously, the 2 weeks in training, it didn't show up anything.
Kerry are far too dependent on David Clifford. Without him, they would be in serious trouble. It's about time other players stepped up. That's kind of part of the debate we had at the start. What a player David Clifford is, but for how much longer can he carry this team? That's more similar again. An awful lot of similar ones on David Clifford, so we'll leave them there now at the moment. We'll focus on Loud maybe. Here's a couple from Loud. Kerry really riding their luck at the minute, and they will need it once again against Mickey Hart's Loud. Donal, why have you not discussed the penalty? Is there a fine for it? Well, my wife came in the door and she was absolutely thrilled. My wife's from Cork, Denise, so you'll enjoy this, okay? Because the man on Radio Kerry said it wasn't a penalty. And then the husband says, it was a stonewall penalty. What are you on about?
The husband knows not about football.
Can you imagine? Liam Broston.
Your wife is a good girl. She knows her football. That man.
Love listening to Liam Broston. Come here. Penalty or no penalty?
No penalty for me.
No,
I know the rule. I know the rule.
Maybe explain the rule, or explain it as the rule that we kind of have become to understand it probably after the debate.
Well, it's kind of...
Initially, it didn't look like a penalty. I mean, it looked like a foul.
It looked like a foul. And in the referee put up his hand.
Take your free enough.
We knew it was a black card. And everyone above in the press box knew there was a black card coming. But as for a penalty, like, no one was waiting for him to put out his hands when he did it. He went into his umpire. Whatever discussion they had, he came out and he gave a penalty. And there was even a big... even above in the press box, there was a what? No, everyone was kind of...
Did anybody in the press box say why?
No one around us. Well, obviously, you couldn't be talking when you were on air anyway, but... Yeah. No, until after the game, people, I think, I don't even RT copped the rule until the end of the game, did they?
I think, to be fair to the boys in GA Go, they called it a penalty straight away.
Because of the rule. But no one around us knew that rule even existed.
Yeah.
And like, I think it's, even when we look back at it now, I'd be still, if it happened to Kerry, I would be kind of very upset about it.
Let's put it this way, the rule is there. It is a penalty, but because referees haven't enforced this rule and because they haven't come to the table and really put themselves down and say, look, this is a penalty, because can you imagine giving that in a club game? Where would you be nasty if you gave that at 4 minutes into added time and you're playing Douro and the referee makes the right decision?
Johnny, be inside.
But that is the truth. Like, but then, John, maybe just a quick point on that. Are referees kind of hiding, like, they're given the rule book, they're happy to blow the rules and certain things, but this is written in black and white, this is a rule, but they don't enforce them, because they don't enforce them that regularly. We all think
there's too many rules.
But the reality is, a rule in the rule book, regardless whether it's one rule or 500 rules, if it's in the book in between the covers, it should be enforced.
It should, but like, the black card was brought in, Donal, because probably Sean Kavanagh's famous tackle in the Ulster Championship.
Cynical play,
right. How many times do referees opt out and give a yellow card? I'm talking about the high-profile games. Forget about club games. They opt out because he'd be gone for 10 minutes. It'll be controversial. We'll give the yellow card. But coming back to the penalty, to me, 'tis if there's a definite goal-scoring chance on, the black card was right. There was two Cork defenders and the keeper. Could we say for definite that
I
would be a goal
score?
I don't think it was a definite score. If it's not, then I think there's too many grey areas in the rules in the GAA. Forget them. Basic rules and abide by them.
20 seconds, didn't you?
Yeah, I think if you look, Donald, say go back to the Kerry Mayo game, and there was fighting four Mayo fellas, one and one, with the Kerry goalie, and they didn't score. Go back to the last day. I don't think it was a clear-cut goal chance. I think Paul Gainey had still a lot to do. So
a TMO, Donald.
Yeah.
Bring in a TMO or VAR or something.
Could you imagine yourself and Ambrose being TMO?
We could have given the signal down from up top.
I can imagine. We're waiting 4 minutes for the decision. Well, listen, lads, we'll talk about this in a little bit more after a break. We go straight to news.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, let's see, we have a couple more comments to get to. I'm going to read this comment out because Mike over there in Rochester, New York, he listens in every week. Good evening, Mike, or good morning, or good afternoon. I don't know what time it is over there in New York. But Don, I really enjoy listening to you and John and Liam and Dinny after the big games. I think Kerry are struggling to find some form, but it does not mean that the players have become bad players overnight. Hopefully, if we can make it back to Croke Park, we can find the magic that has inspired many a Kerry team over the years. Keep up the good work and keep giving Dinny a nod built on his shoulder as he is well able to take him. And that's Mike in Rochester, who says, will you say a happy birthday to my neighbour Mike Cahill with a K, whose grandfather was from Cork. I'm doing my best to teach him about Gaelic football. Maybe we should send Dinny over to New York to teach him. But it's lovely to get comments like that in, and it's great to think that we're all over the world in New York this evening, as well as Kerry. Now, back to some of the more mundane ones. David Goff played really well for Kerry, Cork listener. Cork people are blaming the ref as a usual excuse for losing. They couldn't take their chances, as simple as that. Never a penalty, lads. I don't care what the rule was made up to justify it. Liam is right. There we go. Do you send that from your phone now?
That's my second fan tonight.
Two fans. We'll have to start paying you now, shortly. Cork missed three or four soft frees. The penalty was a penalty by the new rules. Last man pulled down, goal opportunity, free player, free inside. We were lucky to win. Too many wides by Cork, though, left us off the hook. This is shocking stuff from Kerry. Cork are a desperate poor team compared to what we are building them up to. As a Cork man, getting as close to two-score game is a result. But that Kerry team are well off their mark compared to last year. Really need to pull up their socks if they have any hope of retaining Sam. And then on subs, we have a couple on subs. The Kerry subs made no impact at all, lads, where the Cork subs came off the bench and made a huge impact. And then a very simple text. Lads, Kerry just don't have the X factor on the bench. With our first 15, just looks like they're the only 15 we have. I think we won't be too worried about the All-Ireland tickets this year. Well, that's really putting a thing on it. Dinny, one quick one to you as well. Can you ask Dinny Long, long-time supporter of all things Cork in Kerry? God, how much have you got your own political party and everything down here defending the Rebel Union? Was he disappointed the Cork Miners lost in Tralee to a team, hold on, I must finish, to a team led by all those Austin Sax players? Double-edged sword there, didn't
you? Sure, you know, I was delighted for the Sax players, obviously. They're good young lads and they put in a big effort and, you know, more power to them. But going back to the game, Donald, and Cork won the game in Cork. But, you know, Miners, it's fairly fickle. But there isn't a whole pile between the two teams. Kerry got two goal chances and they took both excellently. And, you know, as you know, goal win games. If they met again, it could go either way. But overall, the standard wasn't that great, I thought, to be honest about it. I thought, again,
there was a lot of mistakes, Dinny, in the game. I mean, is that because when we talk about Miners, we still think 18-year-olds going on 20 and they look stronger?
I think there's a bit of that about it, but I think, you know, and I have no great insight on development squads and things like that, but I think players are overcoached, to be honest about it. And, you know, Liam said there that fellas are afraid to take shots. Well, it looked to me in the Minor game the last night that it is A to B and B to C and all that kind of thing, and I don't think that's good for young fellas. And I think there was some reference made that young fellas, you know, they've got to be inside in a bubble and all this thing. I'm not so sure for 17-year-olds. I'd much prefer a small bit of, you know, off the cuff kind of stuff, and let the talent that's there, let them display their talents and give people more excitement and more enjoyment. When I came out of the game, the minor game, and I was talking to Kerry people and Cork people, and they were a bit upset because the game was quite boring, to be honest about it. And that's not taking from management or the young fellas, but I'd like to see it played a bit more off the cuff and let fellas enjoy it. If we overcoach young fellas, we'll put them off playing the game, and more so we'll put the fellas coming behind them off playing Gaelic football as well. So I wouldn't like to see that happen.
Mm-hmm. Fair play to you. Of course, like you say, when the sides met previous, Cork seemed to run over them completely. I mean, they had two fine forwards, Darragh Shee and Sean Coakley, and they kind of just tore down the middle all the time and destroyed Kerry in that sense. The last evening, Liam, watching that game, Kerry kind of shored up that defensive bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, Garrod Evans was I thought quite good in defence. David Mulvihill was there as well, and I think Keelan O'Shea, that he'll come by, he kind of done that sweeper system where they stopped Cork coming down. They got their two goals before half time. Looked like things were rosy in the garden, but Cork came back. Cork levelled up the game, which was there, and then I suppose Kerry kicked on another little bit, bringing off some players on the whole lot. They play Kildare now again. They're back in the quarter final. But just on a personal note, for the likes of Wayne Quinlivan, it's a big win, isn't it? It's a Munster Championship. He can tick that box. He has it in his thing, and he's moving on to an All Ireland quarter final.
It is, yeah. And I suppose, and we said it the night that they beat us, or the couple of nights after, you know, that Kerry probably learned a lot more from that loss than what Cork would have done with the win. And they did, and they proved it above and the park last night. You know, so fair play to Wayne and the management team. And like that, it's probably a hard group now since they changed the age group. You know, just on your point there, I think it's more like under 16 football now than minor football. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a lot of mistakes. You don't know what way a player can react. You know, he could be your best player, but he might go out, the occasion might get him, you know, all these small little things. But yeah, I think I'm hearing that Kildare are decent. We know Dublin are a very good team, but this will be a big game from now again, taking it all the way up to Kilkenny. You'd question that though.
I would question that. The home of hurling, sure, no problem going up there. Come here to me, John Kennedy, let's bring it back to kind of a small thing. We'll talk about the stacks now in a second with Dinny, but I mean, it's great to have young fellas involved, and you had a guy yourselves, Oisin Healy, he was involved in as well. That must be great for a small rural club to say, we have a Kerry minor, he's a Munster fella, he's hanging in there, he's playing with him, he's saying, that must be great. Was well celebrated, was it?
Oh, absolutely, Donald. You know, there's a buzz around the place. You know, he's been in with Wayne and the lads there, and I congratulate him on a great win. Wayne's a great fella, and he's totally dedicated, but Oisin is a great talent. But like with all young fellas, form dips and rises. You know, it was great to see him starting last night, played his part to the panel game now, and he'll learn from that. But the knock on for the young fellas, they're all going around with the festival at the weekend there, they're all going around with green and gold jerseys, they're on Oisin Healy's now, they're kicking frees, and sure, that's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And for North Kerry, we're well represented, four or five players on the panel. It's brilliant, because there's a lot of negativity about North Kerry, but like, it's great. And you know, it's like Dinny said there, you know, the other side of that is when there's guys inside, they want to aspire to be the Oisin Healy's and the David Mulvilles and the Evan Boyles. And that's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. We had Evan Boyle sitting there after North Kerry winning the minor championship last year, and cool as a breeze. Another man that was cool as a breeze last day, man the match, Ben Murphy, from your own corner of where you are now, looks like an outstanding talent.
Yeah, very good talent. He's a minor again next year. He's underage next year. He's a very good player, and in fairness to the development of the young fellas in the stacks, there's quite a number of fellas there, and they're doing great work there, a couple of mornings a week and a couple of evenings a week. And you know, it's a big thing for them to go up to Austin Stack Park the last day and see three or four fellas representing the club and winning Munster Championship medals. That's what it's all about, and that's what keeps clubs going and keeps clubs alive. And you know, I think Kerry have a chance in the minor. There's a couple of good teams left. Mayo look good, Dublin look good, I'd say Kildare as well, or thereabouts.
Oh, so, and Derry and Monaghan are all still there.
Yeah. You know, it's quite a good high standard. So, you know, can Kerry go up another notch, and how will Cork do against what looks like a very good Dublin team? But on the day, like John was saying, they're only 16-year-old, so maybe pressure and things and might get to them. But, you know, it is great to see them playing and playing at a good level.
And Liam, it's interesting, we talk about the Munster Championship at senior level. It seems to be kind of a... forget about it, but the Munster Minor Football Championship, that's a competitive championship.
A very competitive championship. And look, I suppose it's the first time that these young fellas put on a real Kerry jersey, as we call it. Now, we always had a thing, a development squad, right? You get a Kerry jersey when I was involved, but the real Kerry jersey and you put on a Kerry minor jersey. You start, you're on the train, then you start, and it's up to yourself then to take it on from there. But yeah, and look, there's a great old buzz as well, because it brings family, it brings parishes, it brings everyone together. But it changes then as it goes along in the years, when they go out on the 20 level and senior level, the pressure comes on a bit more. But at minor level, it's kind of more refreshing, you know, that kind of a way. But I would agree with Dinia, it is probably getting them a lot more structured, all right. And the half hour that can put the ball in the toe now and go past maybe two or three players, we don't see them anymore now. You know, the Stephen O'Briens, the Dan O'Sullivans, you know, these fellas, are we taking it out of them? You know, I've seen it in young fellas, but it's a case of keep our head up and pass the ball. You know, sometimes we, like, I would agree with Dinia, we might be doing a bit of over-coaching as well. Now, if a fella has a talent, you got to praise it, you got to see, kind of nourish it and bring it on. But I do think we're probably taking, maybe as Ambrose and Timmy say a lot, we're taking the foot out of the football a small bit, and I'd like to see a lot more of that.
More foot.
My party political statement for the night, though.
No. Money for the town council. No. John Kennedy, no chance up North Carolina. They wouldn't be interested in that at all. Come here, John Kennedy, will you please explain to us, we're going to change from the minors now, and congratulations to Kerry in the very best. Look, they're out against Kildare next weekend. And as I said, I came above in Kilkenny. It'd be nice to bring a bit of football up there, maybe. But let's go back to Kerry and Loud. Now, I know it's a couple of weeks away yet. It's 2 weeks away. Next week we're talking hurling. Thank God we're talking hurling. It's great to talk something exciting after talking football for an hour. But where do Kerry go now? A lot of people are saying we can still win the group. Can we not get through at all? What will Cork do if Loud beat us? What will happen? Will you maybe talk through what might happen with the two games and the scenarios that could be played out there for us? You were the only fellow I could trust with this piece of work.
Thanks, Donald. I appreciate that. No. I suppose from a Loud point of view, they need to win to avoid going out of the competition. So that's
so if Loud don't win, they're gone.
They're gone. Okay. They're out.
So we know that. We check
the other scenario then, a Kerry win and a Cork loss, we'll see Kerry finish second. And a Kerry win and a Cork win, we'll see Mayo, Cork and Kerry all in 4 points.
Okay, so they'll all have 4 points. They all have won two games then.
Yes, the final ranking then will come down to plus and minus scoring average.
Okay. Oh wow.
So it's interesting.
Yes.
And it's down to the last games, in fairness.
Yeah.
Which is maybe contradicting what we said a while ago.
It was kind of contradicting how he said it at the very start, because most people were saying the last round games would be dead rubbers and the whole lot. Clare are the only county out of the whole 16 gone. And it's gas. I know you're saying, God help us, so many can still qualify, but it's still competitive to think that only one is gone. The crowd would be Cork. There we go. Cork is still there. It makes no sense at all. It's not even magic. So just to run through that again, Kerry could still technically win the group if all three teams finish on two wins.
And yeah, exactly.
But we need Cork to help us.
We need Cork to help us, yeah.
And we need to give Loud a fair hiding.
Loud know that if they don't beat Kerry,
yeah,
they're gone.
Okay.
That's definite.
Do you think, Dinny Long, Mickey Hart is sitting at home tonight, above in Tyrone, maybe on his way down to think, saying, wouldn't it be a statement win if I could stop Jack O'Connor?
Well, there's obviously a Mickey Hart factor with Loud. He's had a lot of success. They were in the Leinster final. They finished third in Division 2. Only Derry and Dublin were above them. That's progress. They came along and Cork went up, and Cork had to win, and Cork won by a point, I think, above Navan, because the Loud venue wasn't big enough to hold the game. Now, they went into the Mayo game, and if you met 1,000 people and you asked them who'll win between Loud and Mayo, they'd say, sure, Loud, that Mayo beat Kerry out the gate, sure, they'll beat Loud out four gates, right? It didn't happen. It didn't happen. And in fairness to Loud, and in fairness to Mickey Hart, he has a good structure, but he has also a lot of good footballers. So, you know, Kerry are going up.
The way Loud set up, though, Dinny, I mean, Mayo didn't get the better of them because they didn't leave their 45-metre line. They kind of cut teams on the counter-attack and that. Will Kerry have fierce trouble trying to break down a complete blanket?
They shouldn't have. They shouldn't. There should be quite a gap there. But, you know, it's going back to the games that Kerry have already played, both in league and championship. Will Jack O'Connor and his management say, lads, we're playing loud? Of course, they'll be slightly wary of it. And of course, why shouldn't they be after the two results now that we know that Loud have had? But at the same time, it's a game that Kerry should go out and see what they can do by playing more attacking and more open football. And the other forwards, apart from David Clifford, should now stand up and be counted and kick scores, because someday David Clifford won't do it on his own. So it's up to the other forwards, plus your two boys in the middle of the field, to come and come good. And the big problem, from my point of view for Kerry, is that everybody is saying Kerry are not hitting the form they were in last year, mm-hmm. right? That's a known fact. But maybe from last year, were Kerry overrated? And have we a situation now that a lot of other teams, five or six teams, caught up and maybe the same level and maybe three or four of them better than Kerry? And that's the challenge for Kerry in the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Oh my God. He's really putting it down to us, isn't he? Well, listen, we'd love to continue the challenge, but we've run out of time, unfortunately, because we have to check in with Kerry FC. They had a tough night at the office this evening as well, just around the corner. We'll be catching up with some post-match commentary. And, of course, we'll be starting our Women in Sports segment as well with Claire Fitzgerald. Liam Broston, no holidays or anything planned?
No holidays, no. We might go for that game above in Louth, all right, and we'll see. That'll be the nearest holiday for the moment. Anyway.
Well, don't go to Louth, Eric. I think this is in Fort Leash. It wouldn't be the first time you drove somewhere. John Kennedy. North Kerry under 20s, they're going very well. Under 21s, they've got themselves into a semi-final.
Yeah, they're going well. Donald, John O'Connell and Talbot has a great management team with him. They're training our own place, actually. They have a massive effort put in. They have a good squad of players. You know, I think they're the team to beat, being honest with you. And it just goes to show, when you put a good structure in place, good people involved, you'll get the response.
And you develop things.
They certainly have got it, and they're going from strength to strength, and a full turnout. And that's unique now, I think, in divisional teams, particularly in the North Kerry region.
And all 27 clubs, I heard as well, is it?
All 27 clubs, yeah. Thanks, Donald. Donald, if I may say, there's a lady out in our own place, Fiona Inright. We had a festival the weekend, very valuable member of our committee, a great worker. She's a big birthday. We couldn't find out how many years it is, but we all wish her well, and I think there's big celebrations in Jack GS tonight, I think.
Jesus Christ. Straight around the Jack
GS. That's where we're going now.
Off the Jack GS. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, earlier this evening, Kerry FC faced Waterford United in their Bank Holiday League of Ireland Division 1 clash, unfortunately ended in defeat. But after the game, Kerry FC manager Billy Dinney gave his thoughts to the media.
Defeat at home, initial thoughts, you know, a strong team up against you, but again, Kerry seemed to fold under the pressure.
Yeah, no, they're a very good side, obviously very strong physically, and you know, the start was all going to be important, and I thought we started very well. You know, obviously we had to kind of be very disciplined defensively, and we had to kind of have high concentration levels, but you know, we kind of had our own few chances in that spell as well, and you know, the first goal was obviously always going to be important, and you know, unfortunately it was another kind of individual error that gave them a really soft first goal, and kind of gives them the momentum then, and kind of puts a bit of pressure on us to go again, and I thought we did up to half time, but a few changes they made in the second half, substitutions were so strong coming on physically and athletically, and you know, I was able to kind of help them finish the game really, really strong. So yeah, you know, it's a big gap between us and them at the moment, obviously.
The concentration, you know, 1-0 down, possibly going into half-time, but again, a goal right on the stroke of half-time, and then you've got all to do. And then early in the second half, it mounted a climb.
Yeah, it is, and I suppose we are playing against good teams, you're using so much energy and concentration levels every moment, you know, and when you're obviously a younger side, that can kind of, one spell can just lapse and it can cost you at this level, and, you know, the guy in front running, Cochrane's probably a Premier Division player playing in the First Division, you know, he finishes his chances really, really well, and that was the case again today, like, you know, finishes them really, really well, and, you know, any half a chance we were punished for it, but, you know, they were a very good side, and, you know, they obviously deserved to win today.
Leo picked up a yellow card early on in the game for a really silly tackle or silly foul, and now he's out. And Kevin Williams picked up a yellow as well, so I think is he out as well for the next one?
Yeah, we'll have to look at it now. I can't remember the top of my mind who actually got booked at this moment in time, but yeah, that's part of the game. You know, lads are going out, they're trying to be competitive and run the chase, and obviously when you're up against good teams, you know, they're trying to get close to them and be physical at times, and you know, you've got to pick up booking from time to time, and you know, it's just unfortunately, you know, for lads, if they miss out on the game, we miss them, but, you know, it'd be a chance for the lads to come in and get it to the end there.
How do they keep coming back and getting over these defeats? It must be so demoralising, and you have to look at the glass half full, as you often do when you come into these interviews, but you're experienced in this sort of scenario, and we've spoken many times, even with the Kerry under 18s, 17s and 19s, and you kept being positive, but really, it's so public, it's so exposed.
Yeah, it is, and look, that's why I said to the players, and that's why they've got so much courage. You know, how many people in life go to a situation where they stay in a comfort zone and they stay in an area where they can't be judged for their performance, or they stay in a situation that won't allow them to be criticised or allow them to be judged on their work. Those lads are 17, 18, 19, putting themselves in a situation like that, that takes massive courage. And in terms of the results, we've been here before with the 17s and the 19s, and, you know, yeah, it was difficult at the start, and then we got to an All-Ireland final, we got some very good wins against some very good clubs, and that builds the belief. But, you know, as I said to the players, there's no team in the league as young as them, players as young as them getting as much game time at this level, and that will only stand to them going forward, you know. But I always look at their intensity when they're losing and their willingness to keep trying and doing the right things, you know, and that's a credit to them, like, and, you know, and the way they represent the club. But we know all for their far different level, and the resource and the investment that they've put in to be promoted, they should have to be promoted, and that's a different, I suppose, development stage where we're at this moment.
The high line at the back, Billy, obviously it was a very brave decision to utilise it against someone like Ronan Collin and the other players that they had. Did you think it was a bit reckless as well, that it left you too open at times?
Yeah, I think early on in the game probably worked very well in terms of being able to help us stay compact and stay within the game. Otherwise, you're starting deeper and you're fighting under a lot of pressure, so Dilly was trying to kind of stay high and kind of, we did get forward to make sure that we were in areas to transition to keep the ball in the middle third of the pitch rather than defending so deep near our own goals. And I thought they did that really, really well. And, you know, even I think the first goal, there's no real danger, and now comes up, and, you know, that those things happen, and then you're sort of kind of, you know, you're up against it then again, you know. And then, to be fair, the second goal, it wasn't the first ball, it was the second phase that we probably lost the runner, and the guy finished it really, really well. But then, as I said, as the game went on, they made a few substitutions that were so athletically strong, and the running power was, you know, really strong. Our lads were obviously tired at that stage and allowed them to get a little bit more. But, no, overall, for the way they played, you know, the players were very proud of them, and the intensity and the energy, they kept going right to the very end.
Kept going to the very end, and they do every night indeed. Of course, there was a couple of other games in the division tonight as well. Cove Ramblers had a 1-0 win over Longford. Galway dished out a big win as well, 6-0 over Finn Harps. And the other two games, of course, Treaty are playing Wexford, and of course Athlone and Bray, they are on in 15 minutes time. Now, after, we also caught up with Graham O'Reilly of Kerry FC, and we got his thoughts as well.
Commiserations, Graham, your thoughts on today's outcome?
Yeah, we started off well now, and first of all, it did hurt us. Like, you know, we want as best chances as possible to get to beat them. And, you know, it's little things like, you know, switching off and like certain mistakes, like that's what costs you a game, like, especially when you're playing lads like Waterford, like, they're some of the best players in Ireland on that team, like. And like, when if you do a mistake, they'll punish you, and that's what happened to everyone, unfortunately.
Like, you played the high line, it was working for quite a bit, but and you were catching them offside, and then obviously they managed to get in behind and score that first goal, and really it was, you know, the floodgates opened then in the second half.
Yeah, like we believe ourselves, like we can trust our pace and ability to, like, if anyone does get in behind, like especially Kevin there, like he will catch a defender and he will make sure they won't score, like, but there was just, you know, a certain lack of like concentration just cuts off, and like when they did get in behind, like, you know, we kind of stepped with them, which, like, they were onside and then they got goals from that. But, like, you know, we trust our ability, like, we don't be afraid to teams like that where we drop back and let them have the ball, and we do trust our ability to get, like, you know, to gain in the defend, and trust our ability to make sure they don't score.
How do you keep going? It's a bit like listening to a chart show, you know, and the hits keep on coming, but you keep getting back up and getting onto the saddle again.
Yeah, like, you know, we want to make families and Kerry proud, like, we don't want to put our heads down, like, we want to keep going every week, and, you know, like, for ourselves, like, it's a great opportunity, like, a lot of us are young, like, it's our first time in the League of Ireland for men's, like, and a lot of them lads out there haven't played men's football before, so, like, it's new every week, and it's new, you're learning every week, and that's what probably keeps us going, like, you know, like, every week we're hungry for that, another win, we're hungry for more points on the board, like, we knew when we went up to Athlone what it took to get a result, and we know every week that's what we have to go into another game, like, and, you know, that's what probably keeps us going. Like, we want that win, we want to keep Kerry proud, we want to keep our families proud, and that's what keeps us going, I'd say.
What was it like, Graham, coming up against players of the calibre of Ronan Collin, Roland, Ijohu, Aluha, who came on there in the second half, was very impressive for them. They're top talents in this division.
Yeah, they're some, yeah, like, exactly, like, they're some of the best in this division. Like, you know, like, that's But that's what you want to be doing. Like, you learn off that. Like, you learn off them players, like, their movements, such, and you take it into another week. But, like, as we said, we take it every game. Like, I know they're great footballers now, but it's just another football. Plus, we have to treat every player with the same respect and then get at them when they have the ball and don't let them have any bit of a sniff. Like, you know, because, like, Ronan, like, up front, like, he's top goal scorer, and you can see why out there. Like, he's a great talent, like, and he punched us today when we were lacking, you know, a bit of quality in defence and whatever else.
Not just defending today, Graham, were you a bit disappointed you didn't really create enough clear-cut chances?
Yeah, like, you know, you will be disappointed. Like, look, the lads try their hardest out there. Like, you know, like, they have great quality defenders as well. Like, you can't just put it down to us. Like, they're trying their hardest out there. And maybe from, like we're trying to give them the best quality balls as possible. And that could be from ourselves. We didn't give them the greatest chances or anything like that. But no, I can't really fault anyone out there today. Look, everyone tried their hardest. And we go on to next week down again.
There you go, there's the thoughts of Graham O'Reilly of Kerry FC after that 6-0 defeat this evening. Just around the corner here in Mount Hawk Park for Kerry FC, and Billy Dinn, of course, giving his thoughts before that. And of course, if you were listening to the voices, one is John Drummy, but the other guy is John O'Dowd, he of the Kerry men as well, Tarbert GA, of course, and then to play a bit of soccer up there in Tarbert as well. Now, a couple more comments before we go to the break. Donal, Cork missed 3 or 4 easy soft frees. This is what cost Cork the game. We were lucky to win, too many wides by Cork. Shocking display from Kerry against a desperate poor Cork team. I feel there will need to be a lot of restructuring if Kerry are to start winning games comfortably. Kerry subs made no impact at all last Saturday. Jack will have to find new substitutes. Yeah, a lot of work for poor Jack to do from our listeners' point of view as well. If you do have a quick thought on it or a comment on it, give us a call 066 712 3666, or text us on 083 300 3300. After the break, we will start to talk athletics and we will start rolling out this week's segment in the Kerry Women in Sport, and of course it's Claire Fitzgerald. Most people will know Claire. I mean, she was a star at juvenile and a huge star at senior level, won loads of national titles in the javelin, the discus and the shot as well. And funnily enough, 2 weeks ago we had her father in here unknownst, and we asked him about her, and he was far too modest to tell us about her, so we decided we'd roll this week's segment of Women in Sport, and after a break we'll talk about that.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
And that is quite a good ad, actually. Quinlan's below there in South Kerry, Liam Quinlan. Maybe we might get Liam Quinlan some night to talk on Terrace Talk. I mean, he certainly knows his football down there in Renard, and a big Southern Gael supporter as well. Now, changing the tune, let's face into our women in sport, and I suppose maybe staying on the South Kerry. We have Joe McGill in this as well, helping us out. So this week's Women in Sport slot, we take a look at Claire Fitzgerald.
This documentary was produced by Connie Broderick and Joe McGill. It was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.
I definitely remember being out in my back garden and having like sticks out of where I threw for the silver flag. In the evenings, I'd be like taking the javelin out of the shed and running down the tarmac to see if I could throw it further, and it just became kind of obsessed with it, I suppose.
In this episode of Women in Sport, we reflect on the career of Claire Fitzgerald of Tralee Harriers Athletics Club. A star at juvenile and senior level, Claire competed in the javelin, discus and shot put, amassing close to 40 national titles.
I can remember being very young. I must have been like maybe 6 or 7 and being down at like, it was Town Lanower AC at the time. We used to train in Carsalee in the football pitch there, and like doing relay races with my friends. We're running over like tiny wooden hurdles that I'm sure someone in the club at the time would have made at home. Then kind of got involved a little bit in everything. You know, when you're in school, you play a bit of soccer, a bit of football, a bit of volleyball, basketball. I also played handball for a good few years. As I got older, I played a little bit of rugby, but mostly athletics. My parents did athletics. They actually Metro Athletics. They competed from St. John. It's St. John's AC in Tralee. So I took before going under there, and now it's gone on to be Tralee Harriers. So they were obviously very much involved when I was growing up in the club and still are today. They were probably a big influence of me getting involved as well. It's easy, it wasn't they have a passion for something to pick up on that passion. And growing up as well, we would always have watched all sorts of sports at home, but probably primarily athletics. I always remember growing up and watching BBC at the time. We used to have the Diamond Leagues in the evenings in the summer, and we'd glued to the TV watching the likes of Murray Screen, or even better if it was a Samuel Sullivan running, and be very inspired by them. So I think that kind of, if being surrounded by growing up Disney, definitely was part of me getting involved in athletics.
As a young girl, Claire tried all track and field disciplines, eventually settling on the throw, which suited her style and build.
I started originally like everyone, doing a bit of everything. I multi-ran, sprints, hurdle, anything they put in front of me. I was only delighted to be doing it, to be honest. It was one of those very energetic experiences. And then I actually happened to get into throwing kind of by accident, tore my hamstring. So I was like, still kind of wanted to go down, you know, all my friends are still involved. So parents like, off you go, and like, I can do this one. So picked up what was like bon throw at the time. It's like you throw a slitter, and that progressed. And like, I won kind of a juvenile national medal at that. And then went on to throw javelin, that they kind of naturally progressed into each other. And then got involved in shot discus. So it was kind of a natural progression through the different events for me. But it's easy to get enjoyment out of something you're good at. You know, if you're not to give a bit of a flair for it, and you practice events, you get better. I think it kind of suits my personality of like, I kind of like things that are measurable. You know, if you're throwing, say, javelin, you know, if you're getting better week after week or month after month, so I would go on that bit further. I kind of find that addictive, to be honest. And then I thought that layers into like, you know, you make friends in it and you get better and you get involved in kind of county level and Munster level and national level. And then that all kind of, it just leads into training more. And, you know, my dad actually kind of took it upon himself to learn as well about it as I was developing. So he was an athlete himself. He obviously knew the basics, but he would have always kind of helped me out and coached me when I was growing up. Then at county level, there were, when I was younger, there were always groups of throwers. We'd go out to Castle Island on a Saturday morning or Tuesday or Thursday evening, and we'd throw together, and various coaches around the county would, over the years, help out, give people advice. Like Patsy O'Connor in my own club, but all ends up being there out and coaching, you know, and helping people as much as they can. Then I suppose as you progress and you get more technical, like every sport, you know, as you move up through the levels. When I was kind of a late teenager and started competing at an international level, I went to coach Sean Whitney. He was based in Limerick. And he remained my coach really, Barry, put a year or two here and there right throughout my career. So your training kind of changes as you go over, then you're also more involved in national squads and you get coaching there. But yeah, definitely being in a very technical sport, it does make it more challenging, because a technical sport, probably niche sports, especially make it more challenging, because you do want that community training all the time, or, and to try and get the best technical knowledge. You know, if you, like, there aren't that many people competing at that high level, you know, in that sport at any one time. So I personally think you get better by training with people who are better than you. So I went abroad at different stages trying to get them to kind of upskill yourself as such and learn from the people who are out there that were throwing very well. And that takes a big commitment, you know, if you're, I did a master's in England, so I could be with a coach over there. I would have traveled at different times to international camps so I could learn from coaches. So there was always, always a bit of travel involved. But, you know, it's not unfair. You know, if you're trying to make the best of yourself, then you need to be with the best.
Claire spent a year in America, training and competing, after securing a scholarship to Manhattan College in New York.
Well, I did a year in America first. I went to the scholarship. I was absolutely determined to go to America. And I could say they kind of thought, oh, yeah, like, you know what, this notion will pass her now. Like, she'll, all her friends will be going to university here and that'll go away. But obviously, I was in contact with scouts now. And I was like, that's it, I'm going to New York. Then my poor parents were like, where is she off to? And I was very delighted. That makes me a bit fearless, you know. I was just bags packed, asked to go. All I could think of was like all these great facilities, my whole, like, you know, my university would be based around sports. I'd be living with other athletes. And like, that's something, you know, I obviously got to train with other tours in Kerry to an extent. But often I ended up training on my own, because just I was doing a niche sport, and there wouldn't be that many people your age, you know, competing or doing the same kind of training as you. So often I ended up training my own in Kerry. So I was only delighted to think about going into a big group of friends training. To answer your sense, it was, you know, in America, it's very much you train in big training groups. You get up and you do your weights in the morning and you throw in the evening, and very, like, methodical in some ways. But it, yeah, it's much more, I suppose, intensive than I had expected. You definitely, it kind of makes or breaks you. I think that's the kind of, that would be my takeaway from having been there. And if you can, I suppose, hack it and don't get injured, I think he probably would come out a very good athlete after doing 4 years. I think you probably need to be, you know, ready for that level of training, be at that kind of level of maturity as an athlete. I was in 3 events at the time, and it's a very different regime. It's, you know, it's intensive. It's all about competing and results. And I won our conference, and I was their kind of our conference athlete at the multiple stage, and it won numerous competitions based in New York. Like I was competing in the Penn relays, which was obviously a massive, you know, massive thing, just because, you know, even now I watch them on television, I kind of forget that I actually got went and competed at them. Maybe I didn't appreciate it at the time, was how big a thing it was. Maybe it was for the better. I probably been too nervous this way I did. But yeah, I definitely was quite successful there. But just by the end, I had been injured kind of for the last month or two when I was competing, and just didn't feel like I was getting the best out of myself. I just found that this didn't work well for me. So I came back and went to Cork. Then some great facilities at Cork. There's great kind of conditioning facilities and coaching. And then my own coach in Limerick wasn't too far from me. So, you know, it was easy for me to kind of stop back in with him and get back more into a training regime that I found suited me and I was comfortable with. And I definitely had a lot of success. I won quite a number of university titles. I completed at European Under-23s. There probably, those years I was in Cork and were probably some of my most successful, you know, in terms of international. You know, one stage I was fifth in the European Team Championships, which would have been a big result for me. So those kind of years, they definitely progressed massively over the 4 years it was in Cork. And then I went to the UK to Guildford for a Masters.
There you go, that's Claire Fitzgerald. Of course, that's just part one of the show. A couple of comments in on Claire. Great to hear Claire. Great to see coverage of Kerry Athletics on your show as well. And that's something that we have really improved. Of course, we remember we have Tomás Griffin in here regular enough throughout the year talking athletics as well and bringing you all the good names and the big names. But after the break, we'll catch up in the second part of Claire Fitzgerald.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we're listening to Donal Barry on Terrace Talk. We're here, which is 8 o'clock, as the clock is galloping towards 8 o'clock. Let's return to part two of Claire Fitzgerald in Women's Sport.
Tralee Harriers athlete Claire Fitzgerald amassed close to 40 national titles during her career, competing in the throw. Like every athlete, Claire continuously worked hard to develop and improve her technique.
You're always trying to find ways to improve. So, you know, you have something you're trying to achieve. So it might be like maybe a small part of your throw. You might be trying to move your left leg, say, a bit quicker. Well, then when that gets a bit better, you're trying to fix something else. Or like you kind of get inspiration from other athletes. You know, you see someone doing something slightly different and you're like, well, maybe that would work for me. And you try it and train me a few times. And then it doesn't work and you try and perfect it. So yeah, you're always looking at ways, like looking at other people throwing to see how what they're doing is making them, you know, you're looking at your top quality throwers. People are winning your Olympic medals to see what are they doing, but other people aren't. But then you're also looking at your own technique and seeing what works for you. I feel that almost an obsessive element to it in that sense of where like there's no perfection, you know, there's no, okay, that's it, that's 100% right technique. Even a person who's going to, you know, win the next Olympics won't have 100% technique. I think me will likely be better than everyone else in the field or one of the best in the field. But they will always have something to work on. So kind of a bit of a fluid game of you're trying to get to perfection that doesn't exist. There are days that I would finish training, but I would be like infuriated, you know? You'd be practicing over and over again and it's hitting the cage and it's going up in the air. And like the days, it just doesn't fit for you, you know? And somebody like, I wonder when you look back on that, would you better off just like walking away and not doing them? But I guess they get make you a bit more resilient. I like that. There's competitions you'll go to and you'll hit the cage 2 or 3 times and everything will just, you know, trained perfectly the day or week before. And then all of a sudden it's like the tiniest thing has gone out and you don't really know what it is, or as you know what it is and you just can't fix it. And it is very frustrating. I suppose to counteract that frustration, there's that like great feeling when it all clicks. You know, if you just get that feeling of like everything works together and like, you release the discus and you don't even have to look where it's going. You just know, like, it's going to be a nice one. And that's like, yeah, I think you always live for that feeling, you know, not frustration of days that you just have to think, you know, I was like, there are good days to come. There are days this will not work out because there are times, and like, I'm sure my coach, if he was here, would say the exact same thing. But like, there are days where I just, like, I wouldn't be naturally a very angry or aggressive person, but I'm just like, oh, frustration, I guess. Yeah, and I'm done with this. I'm driving home in the car and you'd be like, I'm done with this sport. I'm never drunk again. And then you go back and you do it all again the next stage. So yeah, that beat of that. There is a bit of perfection. There's somewhere, but the closer you can get, the further you're going to throw and the more success you're going to have.
Claire enjoyed incredible success at juvenile and senior level. But what are her highlights from her illustrious career?
I think it would have to be like my very first All-Ireland. You know, I think you always remember that it was in the ball throw. And like, I've been training for this out the backyard for weeks and months. I knew it was good compared to my flag out the back garden, but I didn't know if I was better than everyone in the country. I did have like an absolute love for winning. So when I won, I can still remember being delighted. Like, I smiled all the way back down home in the car. I was in Tullamore. And that 3.5 of where our journey back down, I was choked with myself. So that definitely stands out, you know. Numerous national titles, right through like underage. I think it's some school records still standing. Well, I did a couple of years ago anyway. Whether they've been wiped out since, I don't know. I went to the British Championships, the British Underage Championships, the Irish team at the time, sent a team over, and that would have been my first. And yeah, it's like definitely something that stuck with me, in terms of, you know, inspiring me on to like keep with it. Because I think that kind of age, you know, like first year, second year, secondary school, a lot of girls actually kind of drop on the sport, you know, it wasn't sort of cool. And you're finishing school in the evenings and people are doing different things. It can be a bit hard to like stick with it. I think that came at a very good time for me in terms of getting my first bit of international experience. Pretty much kind of told me this is what I want to do. And then after that, I suppose pretty much nearly every year I'd say I represented Ireland at kind of Celtic Games, at schools international, European youths, European juniors, under 23. So up and on into senior level as well. So I think it was always something. And obviously, if you're competing at your international level, and, you know, that's where you're focusing your performance. So every year, that's, you know, you always take great pride in putting on the Irish vest. And maybe it's only afterwards you kind of take the time to reflect, because when you're involved in it, it's always a little bit onto the next thing. And like, as an athlete, you kind of need to be like that. You know, you enjoy your national title, but then you're thinking probably 2 weeks afterwards you're competing internationally for Ireland. So you're focused on that. Maybe only at the end of the season, you might sit down and be like, geez, you know, actually, another like national title this year, and then you kind of forget that they add that up. So maybe it's only when you kind of stop and you think afterwards, that's, you know, there's quite a lot of titles there. And like, I'm sure my parents would have been very much involved when I was competing. You know, they went to all my competitions up and down the country, and I'd say they probably kept tabs more on my national titles in some way than I did, because, you know, they're there at the sidelines supporting. And like, you know, for me, I'm competing, I'm thinking about my technique, and you sometimes just get a bit lost in that, where, I definitely would be thinking it would be, my parents would have enjoyed an awful lot of those national titles as well. The time that they had to put in carrying me around the country, watching me throw her javelin up and down outside in their yard.
After a career that saw her compete nationally and internationally, Claire made the decision to retire from the sport.
And the end, it probably was easy. I had transitioned from going to, you know, out of university and working, and trying to compete. I just found that a bit difficult. You know, you're trying to focus on a career and you're trying to focus on training. I found that challenging. And then after 3 years working, they took a year out of the sport, just because I felt like I was getting a bit burnt out from the combination. Then I went back competing again for a year after that. And I don't think I got that same joy or love out, but I think it became a bit laborious for me, you know, in the end, that if you have to get up in the morning and train and go to work, you have to love it. You have to like be inspired getting up in the morning. And I think I had just lost that bit of that drive. I'm not too sure why, or probably was a bit of just doing too much, you know, trying, you're getting a bit burnt out and you're getting up that early in the morning, working all day. Especially if you're in kind of, like for me, I was working in finance. It was now working 9 to 5, you know, you could work long days. They have other commitments as well, you know. I think you can be in a bit of an ideal world when you're in university, where life doesn't get in the way as much. As you get older, other commitments come into play and gets more difficult to focus time. And kind of feel like I was giving nothing my best effort. You know, I was rushing to get out of work to get to training. I began to training and I'd be tired and you know, become like kind of a chore, then you're not, you're missing out on things that you're, you know, with your friends, you can't go here, there, everywhere. And you kind of sit, well, they got to the stage where I sat back and went, you know, we're going to make an Olympics, you know. I had just lost that bit of momentum. And at that stage, I think if you have those doubts, it's very hard to continue. So I finished the year just before kind of COVID hit. So as that next year, there wasn't much competitions or, you know, a lot of people's training was thrown off. Anyway, I probably didn't notice it as much as such. Sometimes I definitely miss it, especially in the summer months, I think, you know, because I feel it's obviously it's come to your summer season and you see the people competing and you're like, you know, I drive past an Lennox traffic and there's people I'm throwing or, oh, I'd love to be back stuck in it again feeling sometimes. But I still keep very active. Like I would go to the gym quite a lot and play a bit of tag rugby, and I'm always doing, whether it's like training for some kind of obstacle course or a 10K or whatever notion I guess at the time. But I think I find it very hard not to be active. You compete or you train for 15 or 16 years. I have too much energy now just to sit down on the couch. I think I drive myself mad. Yeah, I usually stuck in something. So, but I think it was probably the right thing to do.
Undoubtedly, one of the great unsung sporting heroes of Kerry, Clare enjoyed an incredibly successful career as one of Ireland's leading lights in the throw. But what is it about athletics that she loves so much?
To be honest, I probably like the individual nature of it. You know, we are very much, it's very pure, and what you put into it is kind of what you get out, you know. As you make yourself stronger and quicker and better technically, you'll throw better. I think maybe other sports aren't as pure. You're relying on kind of teammates, or you're relying on like continuous skill levels. But yeah, there's just something about it. I think I'm a kind of person who's quite driven by like metrics or like tier goals anyway. And it makes it easy to keep going because you're like, okay, if I did that today, you're like, oh, I could fix that one small bit of technique, or I could have lifted a little bit more in the gym that winter, and the next year you go back and you try and do it again. And then it goes on top of that, you kind of meet people who are your similar personality to you through it. You know, I've met some great friends through athletics. Got the two parts out of the metric of it I really liked, and this work and the bonds that you make, friendships you do, and fun that you have along the way. And I've very much enjoyed all the years I spent. It'll open up great opportunities for you. There's no reason not to give something a go. If you ever, you haven't caught, if you're sitting at home watching the Olympics, you think, oh, I'd like to try that, go do it. Worst thing that happens, you go away, do it, and you hate it, and you never go back again. The best thing that could happen is you go away, you try it, you know, I don't really like this. And then you get involved in that. Yeah, go down to your local athletics club, tell them you want to pick up a discus or a javelin. And no doubt there'll be one sitting in a shed somewhere and someone only too delighted to teach you.
There you go, off down to the shed, get a discus and start throwing it. I suppose that's the best advice anybody can get if you're going off there trying to be a champion. And that, of course, was Clare Fitzgerald. Delighted to have her again on this evening. Talk when the light is red. I think I get fired. Oh my God. A couple of late comments just got in there before the bell. Very disappointing not to see more South Kerry players on the minor panel, Donald. Surely there must be players from other clubs that are good enough as well. Yeah, it's a topic that we'll certainly come back to and chat about. And of course, we were on about, in jest, of course, all the goals that would be scored if goals were, penalties were given for all the penalties that were given, like the Cork game. But of course, the rule only applies for senior inter-county. Well done. Fair play to your listener. And one quick one as well. Somebody says, Donald, will you please read out that minor team from 2017 once again? It was very interesting to hear the names, but you went through it so fast I would have got as far as the half back line. My God, you better get right with your buyer as well, because this is going to be a gallop. Devis Joseph was in goal for Dingle. Sean O'Leary, Kilcommon, Chris O'Donoghue, Glenn Flesk and Keane Gamble, Killarney Legion were the full back line. Michael Potts, Dr. Crokes, of course, Eddie Horn, Scarty Glenn, Niall Donoghue, Fireys, that was the half back line. Barry Mahoney, St. Sennans, and of course a great hurler with Crotta as well. Dermot O'Connor and Nagale, they were the two midfielders. Adam Donoghue, Donoghue without the O, was Castle Island Desmond's. Brian Friel, Ratmore, got 5 points that day as well. Fiacre Clifford, Lone Rangers, 2 points from him that day. Donoghue Sullivan, Fieries, of course. He was corner forward. David Clifford, you might have heard of him, a guy from Fosna, he scored 9 points, wonderful 11 to him. And Donal O'Sullivan from Kilgarvan, he was the other corner forward. And that was the team. And the subs, of course, Michael O'Leary from Renard, Ryan O'Neill, Pat Warren, of course, Ginnigulla, and Kieran O'Reilly, who I think was Austin Sachs. I might be forgiven or might be wrong. You never know, one or the other. But that was the show this evening, and that's where we end this evening's show. Thanks for all the listeners and all the comments, as per usual. And hopefully we've settled a few debates and maybe even opened a few new ones. Thanks to my guests tonight, Denis Long, John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan. And also, before the all the people involved, of course, in the women's sport production, an excellent feature. As I said, we checked in this week with Claire Fitzgerald. We'll have another one again next week. Next week, we'll turn our show over to hurling. It'll be all hurling next week, and a week out in advance of the opening round of the Garvey Super Value Senior Hurling Championship. We'll talk to a few people who've won hurling championship county medals. Thanks to Niamh on sound tonight. Up next, it's Mary with Talk Sus and her whole box of CDs. I know you love bring CDs in, but she has them anyway. Loads of them ready to go, even ones from Christmas time. And I'll be back again next week, and thanks for listening.